We continue our series of shiurim on Hagolah. So, as we begin to do Hagolah, the first thing that we need is a pat in which to do the Hagolah. So, the Paiskim suggest, this is the Sharet Tzion in Simen Tov Nun Bey Sifkotin Tezvov, quoting the Bach and the Pri Chodesh, that the best thing to do is to use a pat that wasn't used, that isn't used for anything else besides Hagolah. And the reason for doing so is because when you have a pat that was used for something before, if you're trying to kasher something that got milchigs or fleishigs, or you want to kasher something that it should be kosher l'Pesach, and the pat was used for chametz, so we need to be concerned, as we've discussed in all Hagolah procedures, that as the blia comes out from what I'm kashering, there's also a blia coming out from the pat in which I have the boiling water. And if that blia, if that pat, let's say, was a chametz d'gepat, and I'm trying to kasher to make the pat that I'm kashering into Pesach dig, so I have to be concerned that the blia that's in the pat in which the water is going to travel from the walls of that pat into my pat that I want to be Pesach dig. And that pat has blia instead of chametz dig. So certainly, the best thing, as we just said, is to use a pat that is specifically used for kashering. However, if I don't have such a pat available, so I should use a pat that wasn't used in the last 24 hours. And if it wasn't used in the last 24 hours, even though, as we just explained, we are concerned about what kind of blias may be leaving that pat and ultimately traveling into the pat that I'm trying to kasher, it doesn't make a difference. Because those blias, given that they're there from before 24 hours, are pogim de geblias. Coupled with the fact that many paiskim suggest that what happens at every Hagolah is that there's only blias going out. And since the pat that I'm trying to kasher is involved in expelling its blias, it can't at the same time expel blias and absorb blias. And the Paiskim, in fact, say, to make sure that all I accomplish is that the blias go out and no new blias go in, so as I said, if you're using a pat that doesn't have any problem, it's only used for kashering, then I'm fine. But the truth is, even if I use a pat that's only used for kashering, it might have gotten blias from a previous Hagolah procedure. So there are paiskim that therefore suggest that you should kasher the pat and make sure that after you use the pat for Hagolah, you kasher it by filling it up with boiling water and then throwing in a stone to make sure that the water goes over the rim. That takes your pat into a perfect status. So again, if we really want to do what's perfectly correct, have a pat, obviously a large pat, designated only for kashering, use it for kashering, then not use it for 24 hours, kasher it out by filling it up with boiling water, and having that water boil out and pour out that water. And now I'm back to perfect stage. However, as I said, most paiskim certainly suggest that if you haven't used the pat in the last 24 hours, then it's fine. If you did use a pat that was used within the last 24 hours, then if you don't have in the water 60 times the bleias, the kashering is not an effective kashering. When it comes to kasher for Pesach, l'chatchila, one should use, as I said, a pat that's used exclusively for kashering. If you can't get such a pat, you should try to use a Pesach digapat versus a chametz digapat. But as I said, even if you're going to be using a chametz digapat, as long as you haven't used it for the last 24 hours, it's fine. If you're kashering a milch gepat in a flesh gepat, or vice versa, then you have to be careful to make sure that the pat wasn't used in the last 24 hours, or that the water has 60 times the bleias in the pat that you're kashering. If you used a pat to kasher, you used a milch gepat to kasher a flesh gekeli, or vice versa, and it was a pat that was used within the last 24 hours, and you didn't have 60 times water versus the keli that you're kashering, you have to do the kashering over again. The next halacha, a very important halacha, is what liquids should be used for kashering. So, as we look here in the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Hei, again in Simen Tuf and then Beis, the Shulchan Aruch says, "Ein magil mechamet tferia," and "Ve'ein magilim," says the Rama, "b'shum mashke rak b'mayim." The only liquid that should be used for kashering is water. Mi b'di'evet mahani hagola b'chol mashke. B'di'evet hagola may be done with every type of liquid. And as we explained in our previous year, the Paiskim debate why. And as we explained, if we say that Hagolah accomplishes, that it schleps out, it expels the bleias in the pat, so certainly only water can be used. If, however, what Hagolah does is that it burns whatever liquid is in the pat, then it doesn't make a difference what liquid. As long as you have the proper level of heat, it accomplishes that. But as I said, as we just read the Ramah, says that you shouldn't use anything other than water, because as the Mishnah Berurah says, the ain't tivin lahaflit as a blua, only water has that ability. The Paiskim, however, say, b'di'evid, if you used other types of liquids, the kashering is adequate. But the Paiskim make a number of conditions. One is that the liquid should be liquid, something which is liquid at room temperature. But if you have a material which is not liquid at room temperature, so that isn't perhaps, I heard from Rabbi Schechter, that isn't considered liquid. The definition of liquid is something which is a liquid at room temperature. If it's not even liquid at room temperature, that kashering is not acceptable. On the other hand, I saw from Ramosha in a tshuva in Chelik Yerodeya, Chelik Aleph, Simon Samach. There he's speaking about kashering from non-kosher glycerin to kosher glycerin, and they want to use liquid oil to kasher. He says that in a situation where it's not certain that you need to kasher, and you're only kashering l'chumra, he says maybe you could be more lenient. Certainly, the Paiskim say, where there's no other option besides using liquid, the Paiskim are more lenient, and they say that you could kasher v'shar mashkim. What about kashering with steam? So there the Paiskim say the following. The Paiskim say that kashering with steam, that does not, with vapor, that does not liquefy into water, into drops of moisture on the surface of what you're kashering, is not even considered kashering b'shar mashkim, and is not an acceptable kashering. However, there are paiskim that are mekel, the Pri Chodosh, and other paiskim that say that even though, as we just said, that isn't considered a valid kashering, if the vapor doesn't liquefy, still the paiskim suggest that if the bliya into the keli that were kashering only came in that way. So one of the fundamental concepts of kashering is the concept of kabbalah kachpaltai. And since this is the way the keli became treif, that is also the way it becomes kosher. We're going to discuss, I hope, in future shiurim, the concept of a keli needing to be more than not for Hagolah, that it wasn't used for the last 24 hours. And the reason it can't be used for the last 24 hours is because after the vessel wasn't used for 24 hours, any tam that's in the walls of that vessel is considered pogum. And since it's considered pogum, it's not a problem. The need for kashering is diminished, and we want to achieve that status. So the Shulchan Aruch here in Sif Beis, Tof Nun Beis Sif Beis, says, Yesh li zor mlahaga kli bosa kli chol b'yachad, elm kem echem hem ena ben yoymen. We should never kasher a fleshiga keli with a milchiga keli, unless one of them is ena ben yoymen, the koshke kli shalisser. And certainly, if we're kashering a keli that's non-kosher, al kei nagu shloi lahaga shum keli ben yoymen. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says we never kasher a keli when it's ben yoymen. But sometimes, and this particularly comes up in factory settings, so it's interesting to point out, just to divert, that there's a very interesting berhetiv that the Mishnah Berura quotes at the beginning of the siman that says we should wait 3 days before we kasher. And the Mefarshim don't understand why we need to wait 3 days before we kasher. And in fact, I saw that the Mefarshim suggests that this is the Berhetiv in Sif Yud. The Kosmaril, Matam Moshim and Hogim, the Yesh Lagel Shloishi Yomim Koidim Pesach. It's not that we should wait 3 days for kashering. What the mean to say is we shouldn't kasher the last minute before Pesach. But 24 hours, as we just said, we should wait and not use a keli before we kasher. But as I said, particularly in a factory situation, it's hard to wait for 24 hours and leave the keli not used. So, Ramosha in a tshuva in Yerudea, Chelik Bey Simon Lamed Aleph, says that if the Bliya is only an Issed Rabbonim, we could be more lenient and not necessarily wait 24 hours, we could wait, just leave it overnight, because the Ari Shoinim that say that a Linus Lila, not using something 24 hours, overnight, accomplishes the same as not using it for 24 hours. And what Ramosha says is, if you have number of conditions, number one, it was only in Issad Rabbonon that was absorbed. Number two, you had a Glinus Laila. And number three, Reb Moshe says, do kashering twice. That will be considered as if you a valid kashering. But then, there's another very famous heter. It's a heter from the Chazon Ish. He says, if you use water that's pogum, in other words, you take soapy water, or water that's detergent, really pogum, and you boil the equipment out with that water. So what happens now is, the blia from this act goes into the walls of the keli. And since the blia from this act goes into the walls of the keli, the walls now, the tam in those walls are pogum. So as we said, the entire purpose of waiting 24 hours is that you shall have that the blias in the walls of your kalim are pogum. You've accomplished that. And then afterwards, you could do hagolah, an act of hagolah, a regular act of hagolah with clean water. However, there are paiskim that say, and this is, some say, the opinion of the Chazon Ish, that you don't even have to do hagolah, you don't have to do it twice. You could kill, so to speak, two birds with one stone. What I mean to say. Take water that has in it this detergent and use it to kasher. So what you're doing is, at the same time that you're kashering, you're also making sure that what you're kashering is pogum. And therefore, we could be lenient. However, we now have a question. Because we just said that you have to use, we quoted Rama here in Sif Hei, that says you're supposed to use water. But the question is water with detergent in it considered shar mashkim? And to that, and that's how we got to this discussion, the Paiskim say that water with detergent is halachically considered water. And therefore, the problem of kashering b'shar mashkin doesn't apply. You could use the same water over and over again to accomplish kashering, but you have to make sure that the water remains clear. If the water becomes murky or thick, they should not be used for kashering. So we've discussed the pot in which you do the kashering, and we've also discussed that it should be the kashering should be done with water. Now we speak about the actual heat of the water that you're kashering. So the Rama here again in Simen Tuf Nun Beis, discusses the heat, discusses it. And he says, Ukshmagal koinam pesalach v'sheish tzorach l'zob b'kol advar v'n eskorim. So he says, yesh. The Rama says that one should be careful to use boiling water. You have to use Hagor, again here in Sif Aleph, Ach Rabim Cholkim Sfirli, Dein Hagolah Me'elas Klum, Ein Hamayim Roischem. Hagolah is not effective unless it's boiling. The definition of boiling is that the water is so hot that it's bubbling. But the Pais can make a number of very important observations when we speak about the boiling water. First of all, the Paiskim say that the water has to be so come to such a boil that even when I throw in the kalim into that water, they will still the water will continue bubbling. On the other hand, and here we have a very important halacha. once the water is bubbling, so there's a question that the Paiskim discuss. You could get water boiling is 212 Fahrenheit, 100 degrees Celsius. You could get water when you put it under pressure, for example, if you're cooking in a pressure cooker, to be hotter. So the question is, as we said a moment ago, the way kashering works, it works with kaboloi kafpoltoi. So the question is, if when you cook the food, or when the pot became non-kosher, or when the pot became chomstig, when the pot became milchigs or fleishigs, it was at a higher degree. When you kasher, do you have to kasher at that higher degree? Given that we just explained, we have this concept of kaboloi kachpoltoi, or is once it hits that high degree, it's adequate. So all the Paiskim say that once it hits that high degree of boiling, of bubbling, Chazal established. And it goes back to whatever way we learn Hagola works. Whether we explain that Hagola works because it creates a situation that whatever belia we have in the pot is burnt out, or whether Hagola works because it gets whatever belia to be expelled, Chazal taught us that once the water is at that degree, it has that ability. And therefore, there is no need to kasher. There is no need for the water to get higher, to a higher degree, even if normally it is used at a higher temperature. Now, where should the pot be? So we go to the previous simon of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, Sekina Magilim B'Kli Rishon, this is in Sif Beis of Simon Tufnon Aleph Sif Beis. The Shulchan Aruch says, Sekina Magilim B'Kli Rishon Umetarim. If you put the knife into Kli Rishon, you're okay. Says the Shulchan Aruch, the Kli Rishon Nikra, what is the definition of Kli Rishon? Shesich B'mayim Al Eish, they boiled water on the fire. Afila Ena Atel Eish, it's not enough, it's fine even if the pot is not on the fire. Rak shodena riseich, as long as it's still bubbling. So there are Paiskim, the Mekar Chaim, the Kafa Chaim, say that only by knife is it acceptable if the pot in which I'm kashering is no longer on the fire. Because a knife is not usually used at that very high degree of heat. And since it's not used at that very high degree of heat, it's enough that if you put it into a pot of boiling water. However, if it's something became non-kosher, by you boiled something non-kosher, or you boiled chametz, or you boiled milchigs or fleishigs in a pot on the fire, and now I want to kasher that pot, there are Paiskim that say the only way you could kasher is when the water is bubbling and the pot in which you're kashering is on the fire. However, there are Paiskim that suggest, the Stechemin has this discussion, that says that all kalim, it's fine enough, even if the belia was done with a kli rishon on the fire, as long as the water in the pot in which I am kashering is bubbling, that is enough to be considered a valid kashering. There are Paiskim, the Shulchan Aruch Rav, that differentiate whether the belia was hatera bala or isura bala. That means, if the belia was chametz, if the belia was milchigs, or if the belia was fleishigs, so there's nothing wrong with kosher milchigs or kosher fleishigs. I'm just kashering the pot to make it able to be used for a milchig pot for fleishigs or vice versa. There, you could kasher with a pot that has boiling water in it, even if it's not on the fire. On the other hand, if you kashering a pot that was used, that became non-kosher, that means you used your milchige pat and you had fleishigs come into it, or vice versa. So now your pat is an issedige pat. Or, as is very clear in the sugi that we're learning, there's a question if chametz before Pesach is considered hateribola or isurabola. In such a situation, the poskim say that you have to kasher with the water on the fire. So again, to review, if the bliya was not accomplished with fire, with water on the fire, the poskim are certainly lenient that kashering can be accomplished just by using boiling water. However, the bliya was accomplished with water on the fire, so there are poskim that say that you can only kasher them with water on the fire. There are poskim that say you could kasher anyway, even with water, as long as the water is boiling, even if it's not on the fire. And then there are poskim that say that it depends if the bliya was heterabola or isurabola. If when there was a bliya, the bliya happened without water, when there was heat in the water, you were boiling something in your pot, but it never came to a full boil. So since it never came to a full boil, even though once the bliya was at the degree of yat soleves, the halacha is that kashering is required. But there too, the paiskim are more lenient, and they say that you don't have to kasher as long as the water is boiling. Even if the water is not actually on the fire, the kashering would be considered a valid kashering.